highlighting the amazing stories from inside the North Clackamas School District. This is the Proud to Be NCSD podcast, hosted by longtime principal and current community relations director, Curtis Long.
And welcome into season number 4 of the award-winning Proud to Be NCSD podcast, which, by the way, is the only school district podcast in the nation recognized by the National School Public Relations Association with its highest award of excellence. That's right, 3 years in a row. And for that, we need to thank you, our loyal listeners, for all your support the past 3 years. Thanks for tuning in and telling all your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers how they can hear about all the exciting newsworthy events taking place throughout the North Clackamas School District.
Can you find the letter that makes the sound? Watch
me. Well, those are the sounds of another school year underway. And as she traditionally is each fall, Superintendent Dr. Shay James will be our first guest this year. She's coming up momentarily. But since we are now just about a month into the new school year, it seems only fitting that we'll begin this podcast with a common lesson taught in all of our schools from kindergarten, which you hear going on behind me at Sunnyside Elementary School.
What about this one?
Through 12th grade, and that is a vocabulary lesson.
What's the vocabulary word?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Today's word is stoic. Now, the conventional dictionary definition of the word stoic means being calm and almost without any emotion. People who are stoic don't show emotions and also accept whatever's happening. Kind of like these lovable learners in Mrs. Smith's kindergarten classroom.
I'm the checkout person.
Okay. No, I am.
Me and Ben are the checkout person.
No, me and Haley are
not. Okay, maybe not. But ask any North Clackamas educator, and they'll tell you how the word stoic is reshaping the way they approach all of their lessons, whether they're teaching high school math or middle school language arts or even a kindergarten community lesson.
We're going to talk about a new community helper today.
Stoic is actually an acronym for key reminders for North Clackamas teachers to remember when structuring their lessons, and is one of the many focal points Superintendent James and her executive team are emphasizing as this new school year unfolds. What are the others? And what exactly does stoic stand for anyway?
Sweet taste of ice cream. Students talking out in class.
Well, let's find out directly from Superintendent Dr. Shay James, Assistant Superintendent Dr. Yvonne Dibley, and Executive Director of Teaching and Learning, Tammy O'Neill. They're up next on this season's first episode of the Proud to Be NCSD podcast. Oh, and if you ever want to improve your mood, having a tough day, just go visit a kindergarten classroom. Sweet taste of ice cream. We'll get to those kindergartners a little bit later on, but I'm excited to give our listeners the sweet taste of the voices of our three guests. It's Dr. Shay James, Dr. Yvonne Dibley, and Tammy O'Neill join the show. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Curtis.
Hi, thank you.
Oh, it's great to have all of you here. Now, Dr. James, it's become tradition that we start each year of the Proud to Be NCSD podcast with you. We've gotten a little bit of a later start on this debut episode this year because you've been busy visiting every single one of our 32 schools during the first weeks of the school year. What stood out to you in your travels?
Well, that's true, Curtis. I got to say that the Assistant Superintendent, Dr. Dibley, and I have been to every single one of our schools so far this year. And Curtis, as you know, one of the things that we have been thinking about before we go out to the schools is there's been a narrative about an increase in student behaviors.
And as Dr. Dibley and I have been out in the schools, we have been pleasantly surprised about what we've seen. We've seen calm environments. We've seen inclusive practices. We've seen a great deal of adult support. We've seen school-wide expectations at both elementary and our secondary schools. We see classroom expectations that are clear with our students. And so we've been talking about we want to see this in every single one of our classrooms and every single one of our schools. So as I've been talking with our administrative team, one of the things that we thought back to was a card game that we played with our administrators. And this game really was designed to show that oftentimes if we don't know what the rules are or we don't understand what the culture is of an environment, then it can have a profound effect in how we operate in whatever environment that it is that we're in. And so we wanted to do this card game in which we could show that our students need to understand what the rules are, the culture, and have alignment from K to 12th grade across our system. And really with this game, we had set up in teams where there was rules, but everybody had a different secret advantage winning card, but each group did not know that the other one had a different secret advantage winning card. And so as they played the game, they were not able to talk, and they were playing thinking that maybe the winning suit was spades versus the winning suit being diamonds or whatever it is. And so the confusion on our administrator's face as they were trying to navigate this card game, they can't talk. They're like, "What? Why are you playing this way? And I'm playing this way, right?" And we just kept going with this game. But it really led to a robust conversation around what it's like when you don't really know what's going on, but you think you know what's going on, but you don't. So that conversation led to, how do we make sure that our students all understand what's happening across our system and feel included in that?
So very similar to what maybe some of our students feel like when they enter a classroom and don't really know the expectations. Okay, Yvonne and Tammy, let's get to what's going on instructionally inside our NCSD classrooms as the school year really gets rolling here in October. And let's get back to Stoic. No, it's not the sweet taste of ice cream like the kindergartners said. Well, what is an easy way to explain it for those not in education?
Thanks so much for asking, Curtis, especially as we educators really love our acronyms. So Stoic stands for Structure, Teaching Expectations, Observations, Interacting Positively, and Correcting Fluently. And a great way to think about this is to think about cooking and thinking about this as a recipe. Our best cooks, which are our teachers, already use the right ingredients, which we can think of the Stoic framework. And basically, they just write down the recipe where everybody can cook the same great meal, which is classroom management and the classroom environment. In order to make this recipe work, we need to make sure that we get just right ingredients. And in order to get the just right ingredients, teachers work on effective classroom practices plans. And these plans align with the framework. So the reasoning behind this is that they think about what adult behaviors are going to support the students when they're in the classroom. And when the students know what the expectations are and they align their behaviors, then the students know how to behave.
And I think something that's really important is a lot of our teachers are already doing this. This is not something new for our school district that we're all of a sudden giving teachers whole new expectations. You must teach this way. A lot of our teachers already do this.
Exactly. It's an old expectation with new language, or as I like to say, it's just packaged differently, right?
A new label on it.
Exactly.
Okay.
This approach directly matches the part of their job description and expectations. It's been a part of their performance expectations and their evaluations for years and years. So it's not anything new. And again, just to reiterate, clear expectations when taught everywhere equals kids knowing what to expect regardless of school or teacher. And that consistency is key to a stable environment.
And I'm thinking at it from an elementary principal's perspective, where I come from at elementary, that's a student knowing that PE expectations, they may be different than classroom expectations, but as the student walks into the gym, they know what's expected of them once they come in.
Correct.
Yeah, and I think that's so important, and that's what we're really aiming for, is that all teachers are posting these expectations on the wall. Students know when they go into them, kind of like Dr. James's card game. Now we know the rules as we come into a place. We're not all playing by different rules. I thought you could do this in this room, and I thought you could do this. Well, I can when I'm with this teacher. It's not like that as much anymore. At least that's what we're striving toward.
And that we're explicitly teaching the expectations. So not that they're just on the wall.
Right.
But we're making sure that they are hearing that from the classroom teacher.
And I think it would be interesting for our parents who are listening right now. Talk to your student about that. What is the expectation in your class? Do you know what it is when you go, especially our middle and high school students who maybe rotate from room to room? How are expectations maybe a little bit different? Are they tweaked a little bit depending on where you are? I think it's very interesting. And I think, Dr. Dibble, you were talking also, now we implement this training out for all of our teachers. We're proactive about it, making sure these Stoic strategies are in place. That can reduce bigger problems down the line.
Absolutely. And I think the key word there is proactive, right? When you're proactive, you are eliminating those problematic behaviors. And so we're investing in that prevention. We're wanting to make sure that teachers are teaching those behaviors in a way that students understand the expectations. We are then giving less time to discipline and more time for instruction, which ultimately allows a student to be better engaged in the classroom. And this way, we do not spend time reacting reacting to behaviors, because when you are in a reactionary mode, then that is lost time of instruction, that is lost time for a student to be away from instruction, away from their peers, and it really gives it a negative space for the student and for a classroom environment. So we want and we strive for classrooms to be a space of belonging. We want to make sure that students feel cared for in their classroom, where that is a community for them, and we want to make sure that all of these expectations contribute to that sense of belonging. So again, just being proactive really formalizes those strategies for the most successful teachers.
Now, in my role, I'm lucky enough that I get to go around and visit different schools and look for all the exciting things that are happening. And I have to say, as I walk around into different classrooms, whether it be elementary, middle, or high school, we are seeing, or at least I am seeing, those expectations are posted on walls and in places, as I mentioned before, that you wouldn't normally think they're posted, in the cafeteria, outside public meeting spaces in a school. Here's what's expected in this area, the cafeteria, for example. So I think our teachers and our staff members are really taking this to heart and really seeing the benefits of it. Are you guys seeing the benefits of it as you start to visit schools throughout the year?
I think so. And I think that we can think about it from our own perspective. Think about the routines that create calm for us. Mm-hmm. Some of us like to get up and have a cup of coffee, or some of us like to read the paper or whatever it is, right? We need those routines to create that sense of calmness and give us that sense of, okay, this is what I'm going to do today. And I can't stress enough the importance of what Dr. James said earlier on, what she wanted to exemplify with that card game. If students have a different set of rules day after day, teacher after teacher, it is very hard for them to keep all of that in place and then think about, okay, am I supposed to do this now? Or was this other teacher? Or was this the way that I was supposed to behave for this person, but not for that person. So having a unified way of understanding what that environment is like actually creates a very calming space for students that ultimately contributes to them, again, in a proactive way, in a way that calms them, in a way that sets their mind so that they are in a space of learning, so that they can be open to learning. And again, we set them up for successfully learning.
I know our listeners are focusing in on expectations was the word that we use. So this isn't only academic expectations. This is where you turn your paper in. This is where you line up in the classroom. There's a lot of behavior expectation that goes into this as well. And if there's one thing that's true in education, it's that every student, whether they're 5 or 12 or high school age, every student is unique, and tied to that uniqueness is each student's behavior. Now, Tammy, listeners might think that student behavior just means how students act toward adults and around their peers. But just like reading, writing, and math, behavior is also a skill that each student brings to the classroom.
That's exactly right, Curtis. Behavior is a learning skill. Kiddos, when they're sitting in their math class, you know, they're ready to learn algebra, but truly they need to know how to operate within that learning space. Can they get up and sharpen their pencil? Do they need to ask for help? Do they put up their hand, or can they just go up to the teacher? Can they go grab a tissue or go to the restroom? Or is there a protocol or practice that they need to follow? Clear expectations, I think, for all of us equal less stress. So when a teacher takes the time and really teaches the rules, not just mentions them on day one, but really teaches them the skill or the protocol, the structure, and the practice, just like they would teach a math concept, it removes the guesswork for students. So they aren't sitting there wondering, am I going to get in trouble for this? Is this the right thing? Am I going to get called out for this? Instead, they know exactly what's expected, and the teacher then can focus more time on the academic content, and the kiddo can put all their mind energy on actually learning the skill that is being taught.
And we thank you for putting your mind energy into learning more about how our district is teaching teachers reminders about how to make sure students have the structures for success. But there's more to lesson structure than simply posting the rules. Still to come, the magic NCSD teachers use to create connections with their students.
We want the kids to want to be in the class.
Yes.
To want to be successful. And they come every day with their best selves. And we just meet them where they are and continue to reinforce that we believe in them.
And what keeps the superintendent smiling as she shuffles from school to school throughout the year?
We have some amazing teachers in our district that we see this playing out, and it is changing lives, and it is helping our students be successful with their academics and beyond.
More secrets to student success as this caring conversation continues right after this.
Are you looking for a job right now? Looking to work in a fun and supportive environment with great pay and a rewarding career? The North Clackamas School District is hiring. We're currently filling full and part-time positions. You can work and make a difference in young lives and education as a classroom assistant or substitute teacher. Apply to work in one of our school cafeterias where our lunch staff serves up big smiles with great food every day. We're also looking to hire before and after school caretakers, custodians, and bus drivers. In North Clackamas, we promise it won't take you long to learn why our employees say they're proud to be in NCSD. Apply today on the North Clackamas School District website or call 503-353-6000. That's 503-353-6000.
And you never really think about that, at least I don't, of the stress level in a student who's, one, you're trying to learn maybe a concept that you've never seen before, but in the back of your mind, you're thinking, okay, can I shift my pencil over here? Can I move my chair back? Is it okay? Is it okay if I ask for help from my neighbor here? I don't know if it is.
Right.
No wonder they struggle learning that concept, and maybe the teacher not picking up on that. So this is where all those clear expectations really come into level of importance.
Well, and I think great teachers always have done
yes.
this, right? So they've always had clear expectations and rules, and they know that learning really requires them to strategically create an environment that's going to be conducive to their learning. And that's going to be individualized often, right, depending on the students in front of them. But the students then, as we teach them, they know how to be successful. That's what Stoic is all about. The good teachers know that learning requires strategically creating their environment, just intentionally setting out their routines and the expectations so that students can be successful in that space. And the only thing that's changed is that we've taken on this framework that just intentionally outlines the elements of a successful classroom management plan.
I love that explanation. Being a former principal, I'm thinking about disciplinary things. Okay, teachers can explain expectations. They can specifically explain those. Yeah, what about the student who's not following the expectations? I don't want our listeners to think, well, that gets ignored. The teacher just continues on with the lesson, and that's a problem for the student and not the teacher. Not really the case.
No, absolutely not. And it actually, what you're describing is hinged on actually two letters in the Stoic framework, and that is the interacting positively and the correcting fluently. So interacting positively is all about building strong relationships. Teachers have to have this trusting, safe relationship with students for them to really be able to have conversations that support the student when they are struggling at times, when they don't know what is expected in the environment. So the interacting positively actually isn't about just being a nice person or just, you know, affirming, saying, oh, good job to everything they do. It's genuinely noticing good things they do and calling them out. And when teachers do this, it creates that safe space in the classroom. Everyone wants to be noticed and appreciated for something positive. And I think it's also really important that these interactions are very specific because, again, we are teaching the behavior. Mm-hmm. So when we give this useful feedback, when we say, hey, Curtis, I really appreciate how you were quiet when you handed in your assignment so the other kiddos could finish their test. We are reinforcing this behavior, that respect for others, that how we interact in certain spaces. And that's the part where it helps the students really understand different contexts. And that's what really helps our students just grow and mature developmentally as they go on through their classrooms. Our kids are learning all the time, not just the academic content, but they learn how to work with others and how to manage themselves. And when the teachers interact positively with specific feedback, they're actively teaching those skills. Now, sometimes kids aren't going to get it the first or second time.
Yeah.
And so you do need to correct. But the correct fluently doesn't mean you ignore a behavior. It doesn't mean that you just let something slide or don't address it. That's actually contrary to giving the student the feedback they need to grow and learn from what just happened. What it does mean is you don't stop the class to do it. You don't call out a kid. You don't bring it back over and over. We definitely, you know, productively and consistently address the behavior and then work with the student actually in helping them understand what the expectation is and why it's important for them to follow the expectation to be a successful part of the learning community.
And they'll follow those expectations if they really feel like they have a positive relationship with an adult, which is the most fun for me to observe as I go around in North Clackamas schools and watch some of our best teachers. They know how to make a relationship with a student. Now, you mentioned interact positively. That doesn't mean, hey, I like your shirt. I love your shoes. But when you see teachers saying, hey, I saw how you did in last night's soccer game. That was outstanding. Or I really love the explanation you put in your essay about how you came up with this answer. Really cool to see. When teachers get to that level beyond appearance, compliments, and those kind of things, that's when you really start to get buy-in from students.
You know, Curtis, anybody who knows me knows that I love to be complimented for my shoes. However, even
there's
more
not much
so,
to them today,
I've done better. But that's exactly. We all want to be seen.
Yeah.
Right? We want to be seen for who we are and what we add to a community. We all have value. And I know it is really hard when you have a student who is just getting on your last nerve. And the best thing we can do as educators, and you and I know this very well as former principals, is to just lean in and draw the student in and just remind them that you're seeing them for all the great things they bring to the classroom.
Now, I've been laughing a little bit because we had a conversation about a week or so ago that you were having a tough conversation with a student who really admired Marvel characters. And the student was very upset with you and not happy at all, maybe said something that the student would later regret. And you said, well, you know, Captain America wouldn't talk that way. Or Iron Man would be pretty disappointed if you talked that way. And what a great relationship. And you said the student just kind of did a double take and thought, oh my gosh, she's right. I can't talk to her that way.
Right. It's just knowing the student and what's going to make him work for that positive, you know, pieces of the classroom environment. We want the kids to want to be in the class.
Yes.
To want to be successful. And they come every day with their best selves. And we just meet them where they are and continue to reinforce that we believe in them.
Yeah. And all three of you have been administrators at the high school level, which I never have. And I've talked to Dr. James, I've talked to you about this. I'd be paranoid about a student not following directions in the hallway or something. But as you mentioned, they're just big kids. And if you say something that makes them laugh or smile, you've got them.
Absolutely. That is what it comes down to. And just what you guys are saying, it's those relationships. And I will just say, as we've been in the classroom, we have some amazing teachers in our district that we see this playing out. And it is changing lives and it is helping our students be successful with their academics and beyond.
These are all such wonderful insights. And I wish we had more time. We try to limit the length of the podcast to around 20 to 30 minutes or so. But I could go. In fact, maybe we'll have to do another episode of just stories from the high school office. I love all of those high school stories of what's happened. Look at as Yvonne and Shay are looking at each other. Tammy, I know you from your time at Clackamas High School. What goes on there? What kind of conversations? See, I only have the conversations with the little elementary school.
Which are equally funny.
They're funny, yes. They are funny and something we can laugh about. All such wonderful insights. I hope our listeners, whether they're parents of school-age children or not, have really learned about the science of behavior management and building relationships and how we're applying that in North Clackamas. On the Proud to Be NCSD podcast, we try to give our listeners an inside view through the eyes of all levels, from kindergartners all the way up to the superintendent's office. And although we didn't talk about ice cream as much as our kinders would have liked, Superintendent Dr. Shay James, Assistant Superintendent Dr. Yvonne Dibley, and Executive Director of Teaching and Learning Tammy O'Neill, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedules to join us on the podcast today.
Thank you, Curtis. It was great to be here.
It was. Thank you.
Thanks,
so much.
Curtis.
Thanks for listening to the Proud to Be NCSD podcast. In North Clackamas, we know that education is a community effort, and we're so thankful that you and your family are a part of our community. Until next time, remember, there are always great things to see wherever you go in NCSD.